This is Ranger Kidwell Ross, editor of World Sweeper and director of the World Sweeping Association, and I'm talking to a contractor who has that dilemma of having he's a two-sweeper operator, has a sweeper that he runs days for construction operations and that sort of thing. That all works fine. He also has one that he has the night route, pays $12 an hour, which is a good starting wage, and is having a lot of trouble keeping people at night. He's gone through three operators in his last year. The last one just quit with no notice, etc. And so we're kicking around ideas of about what he could do in terms of, you know, that. Should he sell it? He'd like to keep it for a while longer and so forth. So you were saying that the money is pretty good on the retail, on this night retail side, so it's not really the money. It's just that you can't work day and you can't work night and don't want to run the route yourself and are tired of the headaches of having, you know, $12 an hour guys just not pay attention and stay on the job and not go off and go sleep for a while, even though you have GPS on your truck.
Exactly, and that's what I even told somebody. If I had an employee work for me for 10 years or something like that, I'd give them the night business in 10 years. I would say, hey, here you go. You earned it.
Yeah.
You know, they, you know, kind of like, I forget what the old term is, you know.
Well, it's you know, as though he kind of had a lease option on the route. That's one of the things I was thinking about is you're thinking about selling the night route outright, and another way to go at that would be to find somebody that would like to look on it as a business opportunity, and you could lease the truck to them, you know, whether that's through a leasing company or whether that's through you, and they become responsible for the truck, and you supply them with the route. You've got somebody that doesn't need to be good at marketing or keeping up with customer contact. He doesn't even have to necessarily do the billing. My understanding is that you could keep him as an independent contractor. He could hire you in return to do the billing, I believe. Anybody listening to this would want to check in their locale with that. We're not in the business of giving legal advice here. But as long as you're not telling him, you know, when to come in for a meeting and that sort of thing, you know, he has a route that you provide for him, and you take a percentage for the fact that you're doing the marketing side of it, and he's making perhaps a better wage than he would otherwise. He's got an investment in the truck. He takes care of it. He fixes it. He does routine maintenance on it, and that's all on his lookout, and then you have an override based on the fact that you're doing the invoicing and the marketing for him, that sort of thing.
Exactly what you say about taking care of the truck, and that was one of the little subjects you probably heard of is brand new set of tires on there. 2 months later, he's ruined a tire. Now, you know, it's like, hey, you got to watch your cornering and speeds, and for some reason, the way he quit today, he wasn't calling me. It was a big, long text. And, you know, he was kind of offended that the way I told him about the tires. And, you know, and it's taking care of the equipment. You know how that is. That can get very expensive if I'm...
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And you want to keep on top of that through inspection. And, you know, sometimes when that happens, if you see it early enough, the signs of it, you can rotate the tires from one side to the other and make a difference, too. And gosh knows, the sweepers are hard on tires, but operators are harder on tires and gutter brooms. And a lot of times, guys just don't have a realization for what all that costs, and so they don't care about it. So there are certainly a lot of sweeping contractors out there that are doing some kind of a leasing operation, and I know of several that have really built their business model around that and found that to be more profitable, and they then, you know, go up and set up another route and get another sweeper and get a guy on it because, you know, it's, you don't have any of the headaches, and you're still making money on the routes, and you're out there by day, and so you can, you know, keep selling routes and that sort of thing.
I don't mind paying somebody, I was up to $14 an hour once with a driver, and I don't mind really compensating a driver, but it just seems like lately it's these guys, let's see how much I can get away with, instead of finding somebody that's like wants to help the company, and I know it's this type of business and stuff like that. I know it's
sure. It's a challenge to get night people that will be dependable and so forth. Especially when it's a single operator, you don't have any kind of teamwork, camaraderie of a crew that goes out. You don't have other guys doing better than him or worse than him, or mm-hmm. that you can mentor back and forth and help out. So you really are lost and lonely when you're ready to go get in that truck. However, if it's your business and that's your investment, that's another thing. So that's one way you could go. You can certainly put it up for sale. And then the question is, where would you want to sell it? Would you want to sell it to a competitor that's there? Is there somebody in the marketplace that would make sense to do? Other considerations you'd want to think about is, what is your truck? In this case, what is your sweeper truck?
I got a 2006 Swartz 333.
Okay.
And it's really well maintained. I've driven it most of the time. I got a lot of extra parts, and that's what you're saying about competitors. Right now, it used to be three of us. I had one competitor that sold his company to a janitorial company. I laugh because I read your thing about when you buy a business, how things that, I remember this article you wrote about when you buy a sweeping company or buying a business, the things you got to take care of. And these people basically did all the, failed at everyone that you
pointed out. Did all the wrong things or neglected, huh?
Yeah, and they end up, they end up, this end of the season, they just got out of it. They lost all their contracts to me, and and just had no clue about the sweeping business. They were in it for a few years, but they ended up deciding.
Well, there may be a business opportunity for you there if you, found that the lease model worked. Whoever comes in to pick up those accounts may not do a good job with them either.
Yeah.
There may be an opportunity for you there. I know right now you're not looking for more work. You're looking for to get rid of it. But if you could find a business model that worked, the 333 is, it's essentially a litter chaser just because it's single engine. But it's at the same time, it's a very low maintenance, easy to operate kind of a rig. And 2006 is, I think, in a good range there because it's not new, so it's not real pricey, but it's not old and undependable, and you can still get some consideration for the machine itself. So it seemed like if you could arrange that it's on some kind of a lease situation. Now the tough part is getting a guy or a woman that have credit where they could lease it through some kind of a lease company where you're not on the hook for the sweeper if they go run it into the only light pole in the parking lot. But if it's insured, that's what you do, is if you have the title still, and you just make sure that you're named insured, so anything that's damaged in that regard, now they can run it downhill and not change oil or the hydraulic fluid or whatever, and let it run down from that aspect. And service quality is something else that, you have to monitor a little bit, or somebody does, because you don't want to lose those accounts that you're counting on the guy to make his payments. But at the same time, there are a lot of people out there, I think, that are looking to buy a job and would have a lot more, they'd have a lot better feel for the work, and they do a much better job of taking care of the equipment and have some pride if, that type of entrepreneurial person. And, you could, there's enough money to make the sweeper payments and to make them money and to provide some back to the house because you set it all up and do the billing and do the customer service and that kind of thing. You know, that's certainly a way to consider. But we were sort of talking about who else you might be able to sell it to. So there's one main competitor that's kind of out of business. That's sort of good news.
Yeah, I got one other competitor, which he's been trying to sell for a few years. I mean, he's got a few accounts in my area, and it's the Walmart thing. Basically, the only thing he has is the Walmarts, which I had a chance to bet him on this last time, and I didn't want to work for them again because I have in the past, and all the stories about Walmart.
I do, yeah. And
I just didn't want to work for them anymore, so I didn't bet on it. And they kept emailing me, wanting me to bet on these, you know, because it was basically this guy was the only one else betting on them. They kept emailing me, wanting me to do it, and I'm like, man, I'm not.
Well, you know, and just as an aside, since we are, you know, recording this as an audio as well, let's talk about that part a little bit, because if you're in a Walmart low bid situation and you're saying, gee, for the price they'll pay, and Walmart's just the entity that gets kicked around a lot, you know, I mean,
yeah.
any of these, whether it's third-party vendors or chain stores or whatever that are really trying to go low-ball bidding, that's fine. However, there's an increasing dissatisfaction as we have this. We're in July of 2014. Increasing dissatisfaction with store managers being fed up with having to have dirty stores. And one of the things that I think Walmart is certainly one of those that's seeing that. And if there's only one other competitor that's out there that's providing a low bid where you know the service quality is not there, I would say go ahead and bid those. Bid them at a nice rate where you're comfortable with the profit margin, and it's an amount that you'd be happy to bid on, to do the work on if you got the bid. Because there's a certain level of dissatisfaction that when they get there, they're going to say, okay, it didn't work for $29 a sweep with Acme sweeping, so let's go. Is there anybody else in that market area that has bid, and then your bid's on record? And
oh yeah, that's exactly what happened. There was somebody coming in town, and they were low, and I think it was when the economy was bad, and I contacted them, and they're like, oh man, you're so much more. Well, a month later, they had enough and called me up and gave me the work, you know.
Mm-hmm.
On it, and that's exactly what happened. Was that, you know, somebody came in and just with a ridiculous low amount, and you know, and I tried to tell that to some of my customers that, you know, for them to make money, they're not going to put the time in there that needs to be done, because they got to make money. So you know, if it's a 45-minute job, they might spend 20 minutes in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I try to explain that to my customers. Most of them understand, and that's exactly with them. But then. They had the Walmart, and then, they went to that service channel.
Well, it's more complex. If you only have a few Walmarts and, you know, one sweeper especially, that service channel is just hard to navigate your way through. And I hear from experienced contractors that they really have to dedicate somebody to all of these reporting angles and to learn it all. And that's something that the Walmarts of the world are not figuring out either. When you have all these complex, and the third-party vendors, where you have all these complex reporting requirements, is you're not getting the top contractors. They're saying, forget about it. We don't need that. And so it's the guys that are really needy that are out there. Again, it's just tendencies, and not every time, but that are out there, bidding. And there's such a disparity in pricing, because I know that there are situations, because I hear about them from contractors around the country. A contractor within the last 2 weeks called to tell me he was getting $135 a sweep from Walmart. And he had a couple of them that he had to really run a long ways to. There wasn't anybody else. But it was a comfortable profit for him, and he just said, I wouldn't do it unless you paid, you know, $126 or whatever it is a sweep. And they said, okay. When can you be there tonight? So it really pays not to burn any bridges.
Exactly,
and,
yeah.
You know, because those folks will come back to you because, you know what it costs to do the cleaning in a situation, and somebody else gets the bid and it's a lot under that. You know they can't do it and do
Hell
a good
yeah,
job.
Exactly,
so
yeah.
Then the only question is, does the customer care whether a good job gets done or not? And if they do,
I had a big shopping center, which I had it time it was built, had it for a few years, and of course, when the economy went down, they hired hand pickers. Well, this is one of the biggest shopping centers in our town, and they're hand picking it. Well, after they put up with it a couple years, and they finally called me back and like, well, we know you're hired, but we know you got the job done. And that's nice to hear and stuff too.
Yeah, and you're not actually hired. What you are is you are less expensive. More expensive for the cleaning of the parking lot, but if you took it cam charges, which it might take a year or two for those cam charges to show up,
mm-hmm.
And if anybody doesn't know that term, that's common area maintenance charges, and that includes, line striping and resealing the parking lot and redoing the floors, the interior floors, because there's so much stuff getting tracked in and out, and customer complaints and your if it's a mall, then you have your different tenant complaints, and some of them may move out, and so there are all these factors that go into it, which is again a good reason to be on the bid list and sitting there even at a what is currently not a price anybody's going to take you for. 6 months from now or 6 weeks or tomorrow, it may all change, and then
exactly,
you're on the
list. No, I agree with you 100% that, because that's how I got. I might contact some of these shopping centers. I contact them once a year, just so they had my information. And and that's when my competitor, he dropped the ball. That's what these guys already had my name and number, and a lot of times it was just like, hey, just calling you. To see if you're still happy and stuff like that, and just contact these people.
Yeah.
And a lot of these were my previous competitor, they had them for 15, 20 years, and they, these people weren't going to switch. Well, then, of course, once he sold and these other people dropped the ball, they're like, oh, they had enough.
Right. And I always recommend that when you call, just say, are you 100% happy with your current sweeping company and your current sweeping service, and then think of several areas that you might continue to add in with that question. And you might say, with the service quality, with the frequency, with the amount of small materials, that slip and fall materials that are left on the parking lot, or if you're real brave, you could say with the price.
Mm-hmm.
Probably you don't want to say with the price, because
and that's in my area. That's like I had one customer that sweeps four times a week, wants to go down to once a week. Well, that's a big jump, and I have a couple people that one of my biggest shopping centers, it should be a minimum of five times a week, and they're sweeping twice a week. We go in there every night to do trash cans, but that's the other area where these guys are just cutting back.
Mm-hmm.
They're cutting back at the most they can possibly cut back to, in which, even they've gone way beyond it,
Well, can you hand-pick those spots? If you're going in every night to do trash cans, can you get a slight upgrade to cruise the whole parking lot and get boxes or wrappers or things that you can hand-pick?
Well, that's the thing we do. That's why I tell my guys, if we're going to do trash cans, we at least got to do the whole main front curb, the way the wind sets up, everything blows up for this front curb, and that's why I'm giving these guys a little bit of extra every night I go in there, just so it doesn't look so bad. Because
right, but you want to sell, that service, though. You don't want to just add it in, because otherwise there's sort of an incentive to let it look bad so you can go back to your four nights a sweep or four nights a week sweep or whatever. The one way also to sell when somebody wants to drop, let's say, from four nights a week to once a week, is that's not all that big a difference in our cost, because we're picking up the same amount of material, and mm-hmm. we're just doing it in one night. So it doesn't take us quite as long, because we don't have to go out and come back and so forth. But, you know, you might say 50%, but you're not going to be down to 25%.
Exactly. And I do try to explain the same thing, too. And uh-huh. So we had the Walmart. They went down to, used to do them to 7 days, and they went down to 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, of course, they had everything per sweep then, so they just automatically, you know, went to pay you 5 days instead of the 7, you know, from the 7 days anymore,
right,
you know.
Right.
And,
yeah.
And that was my other gripe with them. And, you know, then I had a guy that worked for me. He goes, well, my cell phone, I didn't pay the bill, so I didn't call in to check in and out for a whole week at Walmart.
Yeah. That's an expensive mistake, expensive decision.
And I'm like, what? And, you know, of course, Walmart said, you know, I got a few days, and they didn't want to pay me for a few days. And I'm like, guys, that's fine, but, you know, you don't have to pay me for a few days. But I said, I'm going to terminate my service after this month, because I said I can't give you, we're already at a low, you know, amount to begin with. I can't just give you a few sweep days. No.
Well, one of the people on the World Sweeping Association Advisory Board and I were talking the other day, and he said that they expect, or the average per month is 3 to 4 non-payments for sweeps.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that happens. The operator doesn't call in correctly. The phone number's busy, so they're going to call back, but they don't. Or the phone number was busy, and, you know, usually you can call in a 24-hour period, in some cases 48-hour period, and the driver forgets to tell them, so it's a week, you know, when they don't get the money, and that invoice is rejected, then they go to the driver and says, oh, yeah, that's right, the phone is busy that night or whatever. But he said that's something that they've learned they have to pad into their pricing, is the fact
mm-hmm.
that they now know that on average, even though they have essentially their large enough operation, they have somebody pretty much dedicated to navigating through this maze of different reporting techniques that are now being required, that they're gonna lose three or four sweeps a month. So, you know, that's something to remember. You have to keep that into account. And, well, not Walmart, but some number of reports I've heard from third-party vendors, you know, they lose the account, and they pay, you know, they're 60 days back in paying you, and so you just don't get that last 60 days. So you kind of have to figure that part of it in, too. Now, we're getting kind of far afield with what you can do to sell, though. These are the problems of owning.
Yeah.
So then, you know, when you sell, one of the things I know you'd want to think about is this going to impact your day business in any way? Probably it wouldn't. If a competitor now, whether that's a new entrepreneur or whether it's a sweeping company in your area buys your night route, that's not probably going to impact your daytime construction sweeping. It might, other than give you more time to allocate to, you know, expanding that.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at your overall business, that's why it's so important to have both your fixed costs and your variable costs laid out, so you can tell what it costs to run your day sweeper and what it costs to run your night sweeper. What's going to happen when you drop off your night sweeper? Now your day sweeper has to amortize all of your fixed costs, because right mm-hmm. now they're split between, you know, the two operations. So, you know, look at all of that, but is there a way, what's the best, I think the question you have to have in your mind is what's my best overall solution? You know, in a perfect world, what could I do with this night route that would maximize your goals in keeping the rest of your business operational and profitable and at the same time selling this off at a profit and not losing the equity you've built up by the fact that you have this route. And it seems like you know, you can certainly sell it and then, you know, get some multiple of months' earnings, and that's a wild variable that varies from state to state, and it's pretty much, you know, what the market will bear and what the person will pay. And they're going to want to string that out. You'd like to get a lump sum because you don't know what kind of job they're going to do, and are they going to go out and lose all the customers? The guy buying your sweeper, he doesn't know that either. You know, I'm going to buy the sweeper and the routes, but for all I know, this guy I'm buying it from also has a brother-in-law in the business, and behind me, they're going to go and get all those accounts if I give them all the money up front. So they usually want you to, if you sell it to somebody, they want you to go around with them and introduce them and talk about how great they are and the fact you're getting out of that business and they're getting into it and what a fabulous job they're going to do for them and, you know, that kind of thing. But the leasing is a popular, or, you know, finding an entrepreneur and kind of putting that out to them where, you know, you're set up right now for the billing, the customer service, you're established with the phones and so forth. So it's not a bad option just because you're going to be able to amortize that part of your operation over another, you know, over the night sweeping portion of it for the entrepreneur, because you're handling the calls that come in and the customer service that comes in. And then another question is, are you making any money on, and it doesn't really matter in this case for you necessarily, but when we're talking about it in a general sense that somebody would have to think about, are you making money with sofa removal, you know, large item removal, and are you putting up stop signs, are you placing lights, are you striping for them every couple of years, or, you know, showing the tenant spaces or anything like that for people on your route? So is there money you're making that you're not thinking about, that's not just coming from the fact you're parking lot sweep, but that you've got first crack at doing a lot of other services for these customers too? So you're going to lose that part as well.
Yeah,
or
because I do that for a couple of the shopping centers, and they love it because they can call me, and just one this little bit ago did four or five different things to them, you know. And
so there's an advantage in the leasing out of the route, is that you can keep that part.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the guy that buys into the business, is he can just be the sweeping end, and you know, he's still responsible for you telling you anything that might be going on with the shopping center, but it might be a different price if he's going to do those auxiliary items as well, or a different price if as part of his routine he has a property checklist that he's required to fill out every 2 weeks or something like that when he's on the route, and just to make sure that he reports back to you, and then theoretically be on tap to call you or ideally email you with a photo of anything he sees amiss that needs some attention, so you can get it out to the customer, and then you can keep that part of it. And that may be the most profitable part of your route, you know, in some instances, with the price of fuel these days and upkeep and so forth. So,
that's what, because I hate to, I mean, I make really good money on it. I mean, I make, like I said, I'm lucky compared to, I know probably 75% of these guys out there with the retail, you know, what I'm making, and it's like, it's, I don't want to, I hate to sell it, but it's just...
Well, you're trying to get rid of the headache, so that's the brainstorming we're doing here.
Yeah.
And we went a little far afield to some other areas, but I think those are good areas to bring in. But what you want to get rid of is not necessarily your night route. You want to get rid of, and you don't necessarily want to get rid of the money that it brings in. You want to get rid of the headaches.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
Is there any way that you can do that, and... That it seems like finding somebody that would, you know, lease the route, so to speak, would be, you know, maybe the clearest method to do that.
Okay. No, that's something I didn't. I remember somebody brought that up. Oh man, that was many years ago. We got on the subject, and they kind of brought up, you know, he got up just...
That they were doing that sort of thing?
You know, well, it was kind of an idea that it wasn't being really done at the time, but it was. He was suggesting it, and, you know, he thought it would work out good to do something like that where the driver was invested in it somehow, you know, and you know, bonus, you know, somehow, you know, it, you know, different ways figured in where he wasn't just making, you know, a flat rate each, you know, month or something like that, and... You know, and if the company did good, if the truck did good, you know, the truck's not, you know, somebody's not tearing up $1,200 of tires every few months, you know.
Right.
And, you know, and...
Well, see, and that's the thing is that there's the opportunity is there, typically in a situation like that, for the operator to make more money than he's making now,
mm-hmm.
And have some pride in his job as well, and because... You know, when somebody's doing it on their own, it's amazing how much faster the job can get done and how much more thoroughly and so forth. And so there's some economies of scale kind of that get built into to that. I mean, when the guy has pride in his major piece of equipment and knows that it, when that tire wears out, the money's coming out of his pocket, that's
mm-hmm.
a whole different deal.
Agree, because I'm really picky about my trucks. I can't stand the guy look nice, and my 2006 probably looks better than I know a lot of people's 2013s, you know, just because I'm really picky.
Yeah.
I don't like the scratches, you know. I don't like the, you know, people shoving the carts, and I warn them up front that, you know, we're not shoving Sharpie carts.
Well, that's right, and... And one of the things that I think contractors don't realize sometimes and don't really think through is the fact that you're in a clean business. That's
mm-hmm.
your business. It's being
yeah.
it's cleaning. So how can you keep your... When you show up in an old beat-up sweeper that's in disrepair, it's day and night to what your business is about.
No, exactly. And that's why I buy the stainless steel hoppers, because I can't stand it. I'm rusting, and
mm-hmm.
you know, I wax the trucks, you know, and just I have to have them looking good, because I, you know, I've got the thing of always taking care of my equipment. So that's when I get somewhere in there and there starts not taking care of it. Oh man, I just, you know,
yeah.
And you know, and that's a good way to look at it. If somebody's more invested in at least in it, you know, they're more willing to take care of it
mm-hmm.
than. Somebody's just, you know, I'm paying them a flat so much an hour, and part of it, you know, I just need to eliminate the headaches. And
right. You know, we kind of meandered around a little bit, but, you know, maybe that some of that is helpful. And if you decide to go one way or the other, I mean, it'd be interesting to put an ad on Craigslist or somewhere and just put it out there that, you know, what you have as an entrepreneurial opportunity. And see who bites. See what
mm-hmm.
you know. What kind of people are out there? Maybe you won't get any calls, and you might be flooded in the first day. I'm
yeah.
being astonished at the response that Craigslist can bring in different topic areas